gentlemen, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, may I say welcome to you all. You are going to enjoy it here, since this is a podcast about animation, and if you are someone who likes animation, well then, welcome home, me boyo. I think you're in for a very pleasant ride. But specifically, it talks about the latest news that happened this week. So first things first, we are getting a lot more info about Wes Anderson's next animated feature, along with a special little contest that you might be interested in. Then next up, we are going to be taking a little look into the canceled DreamWorks project, Me and My Shadow. Then we are going to be sticking around at DreamWorks, which apparently one of the presidents decided to step down. Then afterwards, I want to go and let off some steam and talk about Pokemon Go. And then finally, we got Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And let me just start things off by saying Merry Christmas to you all, and welcome to the Animation Podcast Christmas Special. However, if you are someone who does not celebrate Christmas, then feel free to change the title of this to the Animation Podcast Holiday Special. Don't worry, I'm pretty loose on that, so it doesn't really matter. I just call it the Christmas Special because of the coincidence of timing, you know? Like, during the time that this episode of the Animation Podcast was released, it's pretty much, like, really, really close to Christmas time, so that's why I kind of connected to that. But screw it. This is the Animation Podcast Holiday Special. So anyways, first things off, let us get into Wes Anderson right here. And if you guys don't know who Wes Anderson is, well, nowadays he is actually considered one of Hollywood's recent beloved auteurs, with many different classic movies that are adored by millions so far. And there was at one point when he decided to step into the realm of animation with a stop-motion animated feature released in 2009 known as Fantastic Mr. Fox, in which nowadays is actually considered one of the most beloved and favorite animated features to many different people. Like, a lot of people would actually say it is one of the best out there. I remember, even for me, like, the first time I watched it back, like, when I started making reviews and videos and stuff like that, like, it was my first time ever witnessing something from Wes Anderson, and I will admit, the style was a little bit weird to me. Like, I liked the movie, but it was, honestly, like, I wasn't too accustomed to the style of Wes Anderson. It felt awkward, it felt weird. But then after rewatching it a few times, you know, I was starting to grow fond to it. I was starting to really like it. And nowadays, I actually really enjoy Fantastic Mr. Fox. Hands down, one of the best stop-motion films out there. Definitely a lot of fun to experience, and I even have the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray and DVD, and I'm very proud to own that. So definitely a great, fantastic movie right there, no pun intended. Now, when Wes Anderson announced that he is going to be going back to stop-motion animation and go create a second movie in which he incorporates that medium, of course, I immediately got excited for it, and I really wanted to know, like, what's going to be going down with it. And so far, from what we knew, what we knew beforehand is that he is going to bring in a bit of an all-star cast, including, like, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, Edward Norton, and a few other people. And apparently, it's going to be in a Japanese setting, and it's going to star dogs. But this week, actually, we actually have gotten a lot more info about it, and plus we actually got a nice little bonus video from Wes Anderson himself. Now, apparently, the movie that we have gotten is apparently called Isle of Dogs, And at the same time, on the video that Wes Anderson put up, he actually listed the entire cast, who is going to be there. And we actually got a pretty fascinating list featuring a lot more celebrities involved with a lot of names that you might actually recognize. So, if I may go here down on my source on Variety.com, the full cast, apparently, or maybe this is not all of it, but this is just some, but apparently, anyways, let me get back into it. The cast includes Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Bob Balaban, Tilda Swinton, Frances McDormand, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, F. Murray Abraham, Harvey Keitel, Harvey Keitel, Akira Ito, Akira Takayama, sorry about that, Koyu Rankin, Courtney B. Vance, Liev Schreiber, and, of course, Yoko Ono. Yes, that's Yoko Ono. And the video that is also featured, like we have Wes Anderson talking a little bit about the movie, he also included just like a really tiny snippet, just like 3 seconds worth of just quick animation of one of the dogs, which apparently is actually voiced by Edward Norton. And by the way, I highly recommend that you guys definitely do check out that video of Wes Anderson making his announcement of Isle of Dogs. It's actually really interesting, like really funny, really cute, but honestly, really interesting. Now, anybody can actually watch that, and they would pretty much say that it's kind of like your common vlog, you know? This is just any regular vlog. But for some reason, because it has Wes Anderson, it kind of makes it a Wes Anderson-style vlog just by the way that it's filmed, the way that everything is like you see Wes Anderson completely centered, and you have, like, a random wall on the side. And then, like, you also have a bit of a... You have a bit of Edward Norton just popping out, like, not blocked or anything like that. Like, we clearly see him coming out on the side. And also the tone that both of them actually give out is actually really interesting and really funny at the same time. It's just everything is toned down. It's like, hey, you know that I'm in the movie, right? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'm actually going to show people a clip that features your character. Oh, okay, cool. All right, here's the clip. Yeah, that clip doesn't have me talking, you know? No, but at least, like, it gives them what they want. Okay, well, yeah, I guess, you know? It has that tone. Like, you can definitely tell this is staged by Wes Anderson. And I guess that's kind of the main thing that does feel a bit interesting about that vlog. But, again, I still highly recommend that you go check it out. However, this is not the only thing that Wes Anderson announced on this video. There is actually another element included that he mentioned. Now, apparently, Wes Anderson is also providing a raffle. And this is happening right now at crowdrise.com/Wes Anderson. If you go to that link over there, he actually has a little bit of a raffle in which you can win interesting prizes, but all donations actually go to the Film Foundation. Now, I actually am on crowdrise.com right now, so let me just read you a little bit about the cause and where this money is going to. Now, proceed for Wes's raffle will go to Film Foundation, a nonprofit organization founded by Martin Scorsese, dedicated to protecting and preserving motion picture history. By working in partnership with archives and studios, the foundation has helped restore nearly 700 films, which are made accessible to the public through programming at festivals, museums, and educational institutions around the world. The Film Foundation's World Cinema Project has restored 25 films from 19 different countries, representing the rich diversity of world cinema. The foundation's free educational curriculum, The Story of Movies, teaches young people, over 10 million to date, about film language and history. Okay, so that's nice, that's cute. He's doing a bit of a raffle and it's going for a good cause. But what is this raffle you may speak of? Well, this is actually pretty interesting. Now, you have to donate $10 in order to enter this little contest. And there actually are some prizes as well. Now, there are a few smaller prizes in which you can actually get the Criterion Collection DVD of Wes Anderson's work in which he could sign. And then there's also another one where you can get the DVDs and also a copy of the Wes Anderson Collection book. But then there is the big prize. And this is probably the reason why you would want to enter into this. Now, allow me to read you a little bit about what this big prize is, what this raffle is going to be for. One lucky winner will win a trip for two to London for two nights in order to meet Wes Anderson, get a tour of the Isle of Dogs sets and production to see how the film is being made. You can record the voice of a dog in the film directed by Wes, which will include, like, you have to do some barking, you have to do some howling, you have to do some whimpering and all that kind of stuff. And then, once production is finally complete, you will receive one of the puppet miniatures of the dog. So pretty much you are gonna get the full-on Isle of Dogs experience to look how the behind the scenes work on it. You get to meet Wes Anderson, and you actually would lend a voice to one of the characters. So you can actually be involved with the cast, and like you can actually legit have your name next to Scarlett Johansson, Edward Norton, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, and all those people. So this is your one big shot opportunity, but just a reminder that you have to donate at least $10 in order to have an entry to it. Now you can donate with whatever amount you want. Like if you donate $20, you can get two entries, $30, three entries and all that kind of stuff. But there are some small bonuses as well. I actually went and I donated $100, which that means that I can also immediately go and get a limited edition t-shirt of the Isle of Dogs. So I decided, you know what? It's for a good cause, and I want to enter into this, so I decided to go and do that. And at least, if I didn't win anything, then at least I can go and get a t-shirt. So, nothing is lost. You know, I have nothing to lose if I donate anything into it. In fact, I actually gain. Like, I get an awesome t-shirt, and my money is going to a great foundation, you know, with the Film Foundation. And you know, that would be such a dream for actually winning it, winning that big prize. It would be so legendary and so cool to check out, especially not just to go and voice one of the characters, but also just to check out the behind the scenes, just to see how this movie is pretty much being crafted, especially. Like, it would be a true sight to behold with a stop-motion animation film where you actually see all the characters, you see all the huge sets. Like, I remember checking out the behind-the-scene footage in Fantastic Mr. Fox, which they provided a lot on the Criterion Collection, and it's actually very fascinating with the amount of things that go into it, so you know, that would actually be pretty awesome. And I'm pretty sure that considering that it is in London, I guess Wes Anderson is going to be doing it at 3Mill Studios, the same place where he did Fantastic Mr. Fox, and also the place where Tim Burton would do his films like Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie. At least, like, that's the one-stop shop for big name auteur directors in order to go and make their stop motion animation films. But either way, this is actually really, really cool. I'm glad that I did my donation, and well, I guess it is the season of giving. So, I'm glad that I did that. Again, if you guys want to enter into the contest, all you have to do is go to crownrise.com/Wes Anderson, and you can go and donate right there if you wish. But also at the same time, if you guys are actually curious regarding the release date for this, there is no immediate confirmation just yet, but I did hear some news that apparently 20th Century Fox is picking it up for distribution, And it could be highly possible we could be seeing a 2018 release date. So the most that I could say for now is that if you guys are really excited for Wes Anderson's comeback in animation with the Isle of Dogs, then all you have to do is just wait for 2018. Now, for our next story, we are going to be going into DreamWorks Animation and take a look into one of their canceled projects, in which a lot of people are a bit disappointed that this is never coming into fruition, because this was quite anticipated for the technology, or at least the technique, that they would do in this feature film. And I'm, of course, referring to Me and My Shadow. Now, in order to give you guys a little bit of context what this project could have been, this was actually a movie that could have been directed by Alejandro Carloni, the guy who would eventually go and be the co-director of Kung Fu Panda 3, and also Mark Dindal, the director of Cats Don't Dance and The Emperor's New Groove. And it would have been a story about how, like, you got this ordinary man, but he has this extraordinary shadow that's kind of like his own sentient being. And what's really fascinating about it is that, like many other DreamWorks films, this was supposed to be all CGI, so nothing out of the ordinary, but the shadow would have been completely hand-drawn. So this would have been like a combining technique of using computer animation mixed with hand-drawn. So it would have been using both of them as well, and a lot of people got really excited because this is that would have been pretty much the closest thing that we could get in recent years to have a hand-drawn animated feature be released theatrically worldwide. That's why people got excited, but sadly, things didn't really go that well for the project, and it ended up being canceled. However, technically, the idea of the movie is not necessarily dead, at least in terms of the concept and not the technique. We don't know what's going to be going on there. But recently, Edgar Wright, if you guys know, the director of the Cornetto trilogy and so much more, he decided to step in, and he's going to be the director of a movie called so far Shadows. We don't know what specifically it'll be about just now. If we don't know if it's going to be fully CGI or it might use hand-drawn. But for now, Edgar Wright is pretty much stepping in at DreamWorks Animation and try to go direct this movie. And so far, in terms of the release date, we won't be getting that one until a while. Like, they said 2019, but with how they recently changed the release dates with now How to Train Your Dragon 3 and also a new movie called Everest being released at that time, I can imagine it could have a release date much later, like either in 2020 or even 2021. Either way, it could be somewhere around that line. However, recently this week, there was an animator, a veteran animator by the name of Matt Williams, who decided to do something a little bit special for this project right here. And he decided to go on his personal Tumblr and go actually upload some of the things that he did on the project. So, if you go onto his I'm on the Tumblr of Matt Williams right now, and I don't know, I'm like, it's not going to be easy to try to find and stuff like that, but I'm trying to, I don't know, maybe, sorry about that, by the way, but eventually, if you scroll down just enough or something like that, eventually you could actually find some never-before-seen footage of, is it right here? Let me just double-check. Yes, okay, yeah. Sorry about that. But actually, you can actually discover some behind-the-scenes, not necessarily behind-the-scenes. What I mean is never-before-seen footage of this canceled project. Now, unfortunately, there was at one point that it was on, like, Cartoon Brew actually tried to develop a little video in which they took all the stuff from Me and My Shadow and put them all into one big thing. But unfortunately, Comcast actually took down, sadly. So the only place you could find it is going to be on Matt Williams' Tumblr. So going into my source here, speaking of which, or Cartoon Brew, he actually did write, Matt Williams actually commented saying, this was the most fun I've ever had on a feature film. Definitely the most talented animators I've ever worked with in my career. It was great, small crew. It was a great small crew where we were all given a certain level of freedom. I was going to be the lead on the villain of the film, but sadly it was canceled before I could start my first shot. The first shot in the clip is from an inked and paint version before lighting. The other shots in the clip from what Williams explained is a shadow cam view. It says here, the camera was adjacent to the floor to give the animators a flat surface to draw on top of. Once we have roughed in a shot of the shadow cam, the shadow cam would then be projected in the final shot cam, where the drawings would partially deform around anything it was projected across. It made animating him so much simpler for us. The one consistent challenge was eye line and make sure it looked like they were looking at each other. So that was probably the big challenge that they had to do, was just like the hand drawn crew trying to work with the CGI crew in order for the shadow character to actually go and interact with the CGI main character. And I actually did get a moment. I remember before seeing these clips of the shadow character, and it was actually some great hand-drawn animation. It's a little bit too bad that this project never actually came into fruition, because it actually looks fantastic, at least in terms of the shadow character portion, or at least the hand-drawn portion of it. And it's actually really interesting with the style that they were trying to do. Like, the best way to describe with what they wanted to do with the shadow character, it's very, like, at least in terms of the coloring or the style they were going, it's very monotone, where there are only two colors. You got what's going on in the background, and then you got the character itself, where it's all completely in one color, except there are a few elements that they have to cut out, like for the eyes or the mouth or even the eyebrows, or even just the lining. Like if there's lines inside the character, like to separate the fingers, like they would have that as well. But what is actually very interesting about it, looking at it nowadays, is that technically the best way that I can describe it is actually that we've actually got this style of animation recently, believe it or not, like this little mixture of hand-drawn animation and computer animation. It's not as prominent as what Me and My Shadow would want to do, but I'm actually referring, of course, about Moana. Now, if you look back in Moana, there is actually some hand-drawn moments. And I'm referring, of course, about Minnie Maui, the little Maui tattoo that's living on the body of Maui himself that would go and come to life. That's actually all done in hand-drawn animation. And it's actually incorporated beautifully, like the way that it's all onto Maui's body, where you actually do see a bit of the curves of Maui's body incorporated onto the character himself. Like, that is definitely no easy task, but still, like, you could tell it's definitely some really nice, really fun animation. But that one also has that hand-drawn style where it's very monotone colored, where you only have the black ink portion and the rest is just Maui's skin. Basically everything just coming to life inside of him. And even though, like, you can't immediately, like, probably as you're listening to this, either, like, you could probably check it out on Blu-ray or DVD, or, like, you could just go and find some clips on YouTube. Just go and look for You're Welcome, because that's actually one moment where the hand-drawn portion of Minnie Maui is very prominent, and you see some of the action that's going on right there. But What I'm trying to say is that, like, with what we got with Moana is probably the closest thing with what could have been with Me and My Shadow. Like, I applaud Me and My Shadow for trying, at least, to incorporate that style of animation and be the big selling point to it, and try to go and, you know, present some, I think the best way to describe it is, at least to present something sorry about that, guys. It's a little bit difficult to put my words together. I think, like, I applaud it for at least trying to present this style of technique of mixing hand-drawn and computer animation and make it, like, the big selling point of this feature. Trying to make the technique the big what this whole thing is all about, on top of having a story with it. You know, it probably could have been a great movie, but sadly, we might not end up seeing it into fruition. So for now, the most that we have would be just what we had with Moana. And who knows, maybe in the future we will see more animated films. Like, they could try a little bit trying to emulate hand-drawn animation and try to put it onto the CG animated films. At least it'll be the closest thing till we can fully get a hand-drawn animated feature that would be, like, all mainstream and released theatrically and stuff like that. I mean, technically, like, even DreamWorks themselves, they didn't fully give up on it, at least on that idea. The most that we actually got, like, if you can think about it, is actually with, I just realized it right now, is with the Kung Fu Panda films. Like, whenever we would look into some of the flashbacks, rather it be, like, when you think of the opening of Kung Fu Panda, like, the first one, or, like, when we look into the flashbacks with with Baby Po and his mother, like, learning about how he ended up meeting Mr. Ping. Or, like, even in Kung Fu Panda 3, when we learn about the story of Master Oogway and Kai. Like, those are some 2D animation moments that are incorporated onto this. So, yeah, like, basically, if you guys want to have a little bit of a taste of possibly what could have been with a project, you can go and check out, again, it's on Matt Williams' personal, it's on Matt Williams' personal Tumblr, which is called Hand Drawn Nomad, and you can check it out right there. Like, if you can't find it by just scrolling down, then all you have to do is just there's a search bar on top of Tumblr, so you can go and find it through there. But yeah, but still, it's actually very interesting to go back and check out what Me and My Shadow could have been. But we'll just have to wait and see how the Shadow Project will be with Edgar Wright directing it. Now, for our next story right here, we're going to be sticking around at DreamWorks Animation, but we are noticing some more changes happening. Now, as you guys may have heard recently, ever since Comcast has purchased DreamWorks Animation, you are seeing at least some big changes happening inside DreamWorks Animation. Not necessarily with what's going on with their movies, but you could definitely tell things are pretty much happening. Like, some big changes are going on inside the studio along with management. But this week, however, there's also one big change, not necessarily because of Comcast and Universal making orders and stuff like that on who stays and who goes and stuff. But this is definitely going to be one piece that could be a game changer. Now, if you guys remember back in the beginning of January, when DreamWorks Animation had to make their entire game change, like, when they have to change their entire game plan, and they got to go and they pretty much have to, like, shorten their they got to shorten their staff, they got to close down an entire division, and they got to switch release dates where they can no longer release 2 to 3 animated features a year, where they have to release, like, now it seems like they can only release 2 to 1 1 or 2 animated features a year, in which one of them has to be a sequel to what's already popular. Like, for example, we got two DreamWorks movies, one of which is a sequel with Kung Fu Panda 3, and then another one with Trolls. However, another big change that did happen during that time is that they had to switch presidents, in which they had to throw out... Who was it? Oh, for fudge sakes. Oh, man, her name honestly escapes me. Christine Bell. They had to switch out Christine Belson and instead have to add in Bonnie Arnold and Mirelle Soria. So those are the two new presidents at DreamWorks Animation in charge. But this week, though, one of them is pretty much going out, leaving the other to be the sole president. And I'm talking, of course, about Mirelle Soria decided to go and step down to be the co-president of DreamWorks Animation in order to go back to her regular job of just being a producer. This would leave Bonnie Arnold to be the only president of DreamWorks Animation. Actually, let me just double check something. I just want to go and be... Oh, no, it's not Christine, it's not Christine Belson that, stepped out, I apologize. Before Soria and Arnold, it was, Bill, Damashke? Yes, I believe that's the name, Bill Damashke, okay, anyways. The big thing is that, Soria is gonna be out while Arnold is staying in. However, the chairman of Universal Pictures, Donna Langley, actually did send out a letter regarding this in which Variety actually did post publicly about this, in which I'm using my source here on Cartoon Brew, which talks about it. And it actually states, I am writing to let you know that Mireille has decided to return on focusing solely on producing and will be transitioning out of her executive role as co-president as we wrap up both Boss Baby and Captain Underpants in the new year. Bonnie will remain president with full oversight of development and production for the feature animation group. As we are all fortunate to know firsthand, Mirelle is an incredibly passionate and talented filmmaker who has contributed to the DreamWorks Animation legacy. She has shepherded a successful slate of films during her tenure at the studio, including the Madagascar franchise, of which she will continue to be involved as a producer. I want to personally thank both Mirelle and Bonnie for their guidance and stewardship during this time of transition. As we close our 2016, we are energizing for a new year and looking forward to accomplishing great things together in 2017. From Donna. And the only thing that is mentioned right afterwards is that so far, the only thing that this means about DreamWorks Animation is that once 2017 comes in, and this is actually a true statement, is that when 2017 comes in, that's going to be the year where we are going to see the new DreamWorks Animation. This is no longer going to be the DreamWorks Animation like we knew in 2016, which is actually really true, because when you think about it, the biggest story of, like, one of the biggest stories of 2016, at least in terms of animation, is how DreamWorks Animation suddenly got bought by Comcast and Universal, and now they are under their wing, in which massive changes happened in the, like I said before, where massive changes happened in terms of who would be in charge, including Jeffrey Katzenberg officially stepping down as his role as the CEO of the whole company, you know, which is kind of sad. But, you notice that there are some big changes happening, and hopefully they could be for the better. So, with that said, they even mentioned, on Cartoon Brew, they even posted some of their, some of the things that they, the articles that they talked more about DreamWorks Animation and their transition on the new version of DreamWorks that's going to be under Universal. Some of these include, schedule switches in terms of movies, and some of them getting canceled, like The Croods, how, unfortunately, more employees ended up getting shut down, and rumors are spreading around that maybe their India division might be closing for operation. Who knows what's going to be happening? But yeah, when you look into 2017, it's going to be a big year. This is going to be a year of change. And at this point, it's not going to be like the Donald Trump transition, where any smart American knows for a fact that it's going to be a freaking disaster. But with this one, we don't know how this change might affect DreamWorks Animation. It could actually be for the better, and this could be what DreamWorks Animation has been looking for years, to get them back running as like the well-known animation studio we all recognize as a tough competitor for Disney and Pixar. Or this might really fall flat, and this might actually really screw over DreamWorks to the point that they can no longer be making movies, and Universal is just going to be keeping them just for the properties of the characters, you know, just so they can do whatever they want with, like, Shrek, Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon, just for, like, the theme parks and stuff like that, or just for the sake of making money out of the properties. So, who knows at this point? So, this could be very interesting. But either way, I just want to mention, I wish Mirel Soria, by the way, I apologize if I misspelled, if I mispronounced your name. I honestly wish Soria the best of luck going back into her producing career. And I also wish luck on Bonnie Arnold to be the sole president of DreamWorks Animation. So hopefully this can work out well for DreamWorks, and let's see how it goes from there. Okay, so for our next story, I'm going to be very honest here. We're going to take a little break from animation and talk about something in which a lot of people actually played out, something that they have tried, at least during this summer, stuff like that, or they wanted to follow the trend a little bit of what's going on. And I'm talking, of course, about Pokemon Go. Now, I'm sure if you guys are listening to this, then chances are you guys have played Pokemon Go. You know, like, the whole thing that's going on. It was pretty much one of the biggest apps of 2016. And just recently, though, Niantic, the company that made Pokemon Go, they're pretty much going out there to make so many brand new updates. These would actually include a new tracking system where if a Pokemon is nearby a Pokestop, then you can go and follow it from there with an accurate tracking system, final friggin'ly. Then afterwards, they added a little bit more of some brand new second generation Pokemon, including Togepi, Pichu, Elekid, and Magby. You know, second generation Johto Pokemon, but just some. And then afterwards, they recently announced that they're opening up the app onto Apple Watch, so you can go and play it on your wrist. And then finally, just as I'm recording this, they actually announced that for a limited time, and that's actually another thing that they're doing now, is limited time special events, where apparently the starter Pokemon like Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle, and I think Pikachu would be involved as well. I don't know. I actually got him as my starter Pokemon. They're going to be appearing more frequently. So they're pretty much doing all these fantastic updates, and they're they're really growing this app to be a lot bigger, and they're applying the changes that people have been demanded so much during the summer onto this. So at least they're doing some good. But honestly, this is legitimately pissing me off. I kid you not. Like, I just want to take this moment to actually rant a little bit about, like, with what Pokemon Go is doing. Now, I am glad that they are doing these changes. You know, that they are applying these upgrades, like a better tracking system, more Pokemon appearing, which, by the way, not only the Johto Pokemon, but they also included Ditto onto this. They're doing special events. They're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, that's definitely great. You know, I'm glad that they're doing it. They're definitely making Pokemon Go so much better than it was when it was released during the summer. But the reason why I'm pissed off about it is that they're doing it at the worst freaking time possible when winter is just around the corner. Now, the reason why I'm mad is that, keep in mind, I am from Canada. And so far, what's going on outside is that we got a whole bunch of snow. Like so far, I've probably shoveled outside probably, I'm thinking, like, maybe 5 times so far. And we're not going to be good. Like, we are not going to see grass until, like, probably April. Just to let you know, like, we're going to get some, like, we're going to get a good amount of months of nothing but snow. We're going to see white. We're not really going to see much of green until a long time. So just to give you guys a little bit of a heads up on that. And the thing is that with my phone, or at least with any smartphone that uses a lithium battery, they cannot work outside when it's godforsaken cold. Like, for some reason, I don't know if like, iPhone is doing this on purpose, or this happens with every phone or stuff like that. When you go outside, your batteries drain so much faster. And it can happen that when your batteries can end up being like 20% or 30% or something like that, and then suddenly it's dead. Like, immediately it just cuts down and you can't access your phone. It's dead. It acts like it's at 0% and stuff like that. And plus the fact, like, the thing is, when you think of Pokemon Go, it is an app that it's meant to be used to go outside. Like, that's one of the biggest purpose with Pokemon Go, is that it encourages people to go outside, walk around, see the world, and just play Pokemon at the same time. But you cannot do that when you go outside, especially the fact that Pokemon Go in itself is already a giant battery drainer. So the thing is, imagine, like, if I would take my phone and it would be at 100% charge. If I would go outside and just walk for like 10 minutes playing Pokemon Go, it would immediately be dead. Like, just 10 minutes, like, just play 10 minutes of it, and then suddenly it's dead. The batteries are fully drained to zero. I have to go back home and then charge it up, like, just wait probably a half an hour or something in order to at least get my phone back, or at least have it be sustainable in order to activate, you know, to at least just use it casually, like check my emails or go to Facebook and stuff like that. So with that said, I just find it really ridiculous that only now that they have to save up the good amount of updates onto Pokemon Go. They gotta save that until now, when it's too cold, when it's unplayable, when you can legit cannot play Pokemon Go outside, unless somehow, like, you actually do obtain a Pokemon Go Plus, which at this rate, it's as, like, if you want to get Pokemon Go Plus, it's pretty much as rare as a godforsaken golden ticket, you know? It's near impossible to get it. Oh my god, it's honestly really ridiculous. And if I can look into, the thing is that, like, sure, like, I know that I'm speaking as a Canadian that I'm unable to play it, and I'm sure some people are, you know? Like if you're someone who lives in SoCal, in Southern California, or in Florida or something, I'm sure you can play Pokemon Go just fine. You'll have no problem whatsoever. You can still walk around outside, you can go and gather some Pokestops, and go catch Pokemon and stuff like that. And the only difference is that you'll probably need to wear a hoodie, and that's it. You know, that's the only big difference. But still, like, I just find it so ridiculous that they have to save all these updates for now. Like, they couldn't just wait until during the springtime when Niantic could actually have the opportunity to make Pokemon Go popular again, to regrow that track so that everybody can go and play Pokemon Go. And especially, like, another ridiculous aspect of it is that, you know, they're doing all these updates, and yet people are already dropping like flies for Pokemon Go because now they're moving on to Pokemon Sun and Moon. Now they're going to go onto that portion of it, play some the actual Pokemon game. So, like, people are already transitioning for it. So why do all these crazy updates now when you could just save it for later, give Pokemon Sun and Moon their time to pretty much shine during the holiday season and during the winter season? And then when it's like either April or May, when things are getting better to go, like when many people like Canadians and a lot of Americans who live like a lot higher in the hemisphere, like, you know, all those people, you know, like it, when they're able to go out, like when they have a chance to actually go outside wearing a t-shirt and stuff like that, when you can actually bring your phone and actually play Pokemon Go, that would be the time to actually do these crazy updates and perform these special events and stuff like that. That would be fantastic. But for now, like, I'm just here like a sitting duck, and I have to continuously keep charging my phone, like, unable to freaking play Pokemon Go, because that would be, like, draining my freaking batteries. Like, for every a minute just passed, and already I lost 10% of my battery life. It's ridiculous. I'm telling you. I just don't understand this. But seriously, like, Niantic, if you have any more crazy updates or crazy events you want to do, just save it for the freaking springtime, okay? I'm speaking to this as someone who lives in cold temperatures during the winter. So at least save it for frickin' later. And so finally, we now have Matt's Pick of the Week. Oh boy, I'm sure many of you guys have been waiting for this moment. You guys are pretty much waiting for me to have my take on this, to have my say on something that has recently happened. Hoo-hoo-hoo, boy. And trust me, for this podcast, on this episode, I decided to save that for last. Because my God, we are going to be going back to right now what is the most hated animated feature that has yet to be released. And I'm telling you, it's like I said before, every time there is a bit of news or something regarding about it has been announced or we're given more info, it's pretty much bombarded with such hatred. It is a movie in which the idea is just so freaking stupid. It's unbearable to even understand why they would even, like, go forward with this. It's honestly ridiculous. And what happened right now is that it's not doing us any favors or any reassurance that this would be good whatsoever, especially now that the reactions are growing stronger and stronger and stronger, and we are confirming more and more and more that this is going to be hands down one of the worst animated features to be released. Like, this is going to be the 2017's Norm of the North. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am referring to you about the Emoji Movie. Yes, the Emoji Movie has finally returned to reveal its ugly head once again, this time not in the form of a picture, but in the form of a teaser trailer. So now we are actually seeing some characters moving and stuff like that. So we are going to see a bit of what the tone could possibly be. So hopefully Sony would actually be smart enough to go and present this highly energetic tone or something that would seem, like, really encouraging to show, like, maybe the Emoji Movie would be worth it. Maybe they'll present something that could be really extravagant, that it can leave us wanting more, you know? Maybe they could go and do that. Nope! No, they did not! Holy crap! After watching this teaser trailer, it left me so freaking confused about what I've just witnessed. Because literally, it's legit the laziest, uncreative trailer I've ever witnessed for an animated film. Like, literally, here's the scenario that we got. Like, allow me to describe you what the fridge I just watched with this Emoji Movie trailer. Okay, so it pretty much starts out, like, you got a hand on the phone, and then, like, we're going into the phone, and we see the meh emoji. It's just that. It's just the meh emoji in a white background. And all he's doing is just, like, he's in this, like, bored mood and just telling people to go watch the movie. And literally, that's freaking it! You got the meh emoji just standing there going, "Hi, everyone. Come and check out the emoji movie. Bring your family." And that's it! And literally, that's it. Then suddenly the title appeared. And then we just got, like, a bunch of emojis, like, on their column. Like, they, you know, just, like, talking about their day and stuff like that. And somehow they decided to throw in, like, a poop joke. Well, not really a poop joke. Like, they were about to say something that refers to poop. And then you see the freaking poop emoji. You see the poop emoji on the side making a joke. Like, literally just making a poop joke, you know? That's literally it. That's it. It's like, I was, like I said before, I was just sitting there freaking confused about what I just watched. It's like, that's it? That's your trailer? That's all you're doing? You're just gonna have, like, a bored-looking emoji trying to sell its audience about the emoji movie. Like, literally, that, like, what is the goal? What are you freaking trying to achieve with this? This is a selling point? This is legit a selling point? Like, this bored-looking, crappy drawing of an emoji just telling you to come watch this movie? Like, honestly, this would only make sense if you made several trailers like this. If you have different emoticons, like if you have a happy emoji, like a happy emoji trying to tell you to come watch to watch this, a sad emoji, an angry emoji, a cool, like an emoji with sunglasses, you know, then that would actually make sense, you know? Like you do get a bit of a variety. But no, they only decided to make the bored looking emoji. That's it. That's the only one that they've made. And that's the only one that they're trying to sell. Now, I've heard arguments that apparently, like, some people are trying to craft this theory that apparently Sony is doing this because, like, they're actually aware about the reception. And they want to make a comedy out of it that they're kind of, like, self-aware that not, like, nobody is excited about it. And they, you know, and they want to try to emulate that. But no, I mean, like, for God's sakes. Like, even if they do that on purpose, it's still stupid of Sony for doing that. I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, for God's, like, honestly, do you think this is really selling me? It's like, oh, look, the movie is self-aware that it's going to be a piece of crap, so maybe I'm going to go and check it out too. Like, what is it trying to say? Like, seriously, what is this trailer trying to tell me? That this is going to be a dull piece of crap? Like, that's what it is. It's, like, it starts out, it's dull. And then you see a piece of crap. Thus, this is going to be a dull piece of crap. Hey, at least, you know, maybe this could be a step up. Like, it's just going to be boring. It's not going to be freaking infuriating, you know? Like, maybe that could be the step up, you know? The best case scenario is going to be freaking boring. And you might not end up, like, I might go see this. And I might not feel like I did with the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs films. Where I end up feeling like a freaking idiot when watching it, like, looking at such poorly animated garbage, doing such stupid things, and writers being absolute freaking idiots thinking that they're doing something called comedy. Maybe I won't feel that way, and I'll just feel bored. So maybe this is not going to be the next Norm of the North. This could be the next Wildlife. Yeah, that's freaking reassuring, Sony. That is freaking reassuring. And by the way, I do want to mention, however, like, even though I mentioned that there is no variations of this trailer where you got the meh emoji and then the happy emoji and then the sad emoji and all that kind of stuff, they didn't do that. But there are two different types of trailers. One is actually the regular trailer, and then you actually got another one, which is actually filmed vertically. It's all done in the vertical panel. And what I mean by that is that, like, it's meant to be viewed on the phone where, like, you can watch it vertically. And honestly, that's just freaking stupid. Okay, I get it. Like, it's a trailer that's meant for your freaking phone. But no, these kinds of, no, you don't do that. You don't freaking do that. You don't do the vertical thing, man. You don't do, like, that's just honestly stupid. Like, even people who, like, whenever they would watch a movie or, like, they would watch a YouTube video that's shot vertically, like, they would flip their crap. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes the vertical shot, okay? Just keep it horizontal, all right? Don't, you know, you don't know trends, Sony. You just don't know frickin' trends. Seriously. You're, like, it's enough that you're frickin' making an emoji movie, but trying to do this vertical thing? Like, what, are you gonna shoot, is there gonna be a version of the movie that you can watch on your phone that's completely vertical? No! That's dumb, like, oh my god! That is so stupid! That is, you're frickin' idiots, I swear to frickin' god. But, on top of that, the one interesting thing to note that I want to add, however, is actually the reactions. I've already stated that apparently the reception for this movie is growing stronger and stronger in terms of its negativity, and people are hating it more and more and more and more. And what's pretty much going on is that when you look onto YouTube, I actually have several links from different YouTube channels that uploaded, like movie clips. I got Kino Check right here. I also got IGN and all that kind of stuff. It is really negative, I'm telling you. The downvotes are going down like crazy. And the reception that's going on so far, it's pretty much the equivalent of what pretty much happened with the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot. And what I mean by that, it's not necessarily like in terms of quantity, where you got like a million people pressing the dislike button like wildfire and stuff like that, but I mean more in terms of the ratio, that the grand majority, probably more than 9 out of 10 people, would press the dislike button. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, every single one that I go to, it's crazy negative. And, you know, the most insane thing is actually I'm on the official Sony Pictures Animation page, and it's actually, and believe it or not, it's actually highly negative there as well. Like, like on the official official YouTube channel of Sony Pictures Animation, like, even there, it is highly negative. And apparently, I think they closed down the comments in here. I don't know, like, I'm scrolling down the comments. It looks like it's saying that it has some comments in here, but I'm not seeing any of them pop out. I think legitimately, Sony Animation did close down the comments. Oh, but if you think that's bad, if you honestly think that is bad, oh, take a look at what they did in the official YouTube channel of Sony Pictures Entertainment. Now in here, oh my god, it is really bad. Not only did Sony disable the like and dislike bar, they also closed down the comment section. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they made the trailer US only on their YouTube channel. Now, I don't know if there are other places like the UK or any other country that is capable of watching the trailer, but so far from what I'm seeing, it actually says the uploader has not made this video available in your country. So no joke, this is, okay, like, admittedly, like, this is almost going into the territory of Donald Trump in terms of not taking criticism. Like, this pretty much confirms that the people at Sony Pictures, they know for a fact that people hate the Emoji Movie. They hate its existence. They hate the fact that it's being made. And every single information that we've gotten so far, it's pretty much stupid. There is no way that anybody would be dumb enough to actually look at that and think, oh, this might actually turn out pretty good. Or, you know, I actually trust Sony Pictures Animation enough that they could actually make good movies, so I'm gonna go and be hopeful about the Emoji Movie. Nobody is that stupid, okay? Nobody is that brain-damagingly dumb to think that there was actually a chance that the Emoji Movie would be good. Like, I know that there are some people out there who think, oh, imagine if the Emoji Movie would actually turn out to be fantastic. No, there's no frickin' way. It is hopeless. This piece of garbage, it is frickin' hopeless. And honestly, just watching the trailer, I cannot feel, like, honestly, I cannot help but feel so sorry for all those animators working on this that, honestly, they're, I apologize that I completely forgot who said this, but I remember I saw on Twitter that somebody actually commented, and they described it best, that imagine somebody who had to work so many years in university to study animation, only to end up being picked up at Sony Pictures Animation in order to work on, in order to animate the poop emoji, which his name is Poop Daddy, by the way. So yeah, imagine if that happened. I cannot help but feel sorry. Like, seriously, it must be awful at Sony Pictures Animation just for those people working on the Emoji Movie. Now, Sony Pictures Animation already has this infamous reputation of having such low morale. Like there are barely any people who are happy when working at Sony Animation. Like, I really want to know, like, I would love to get some information from people who do work at Sony Pictures Animation. Like, you could be anonymous about it. Like, actually, I encourage it. Like, for anybody who works at Sony Pictures or who is working on the Emoji Movie, you can make yourself anonymous. That is completely fine. But you could send me an email at podcast@filmbook.com with the animation podcast in the subject line and tell me, what is it like so far working on the Emoji Movie? How's the environment going? How do you feel working on what is now known as the most hated animated feature that has yet to be released? Seriously, I just gotta know. Oh my god, it's just really ridiculous. And is there anything I would like to add about it? I honestly don't know, but it's just so stupid. It's just, my god. Like, actually, there is one thing that I would like to add, actually, is that if you guys remember in the last episode in the animation podcast, I actually talked about a project in which Sony Animation did announce, which is called Vivo. And I expressed some optimism about it, because it actually does sound like a pretty interesting movie, considering that it does have songs from Lin-Manuel Miranda. And he has already proven that he did a great job with incorporating music and animation with Moana. So I'm actually pretty excited for that. But the big thing is that, holy crap, it's going to be released at the end of 2020. And I expressed some worrisome about it, because I'm not even sure if Sony Pictures Animation is even gonna freaking last that long. Because they still gotta go through this. There's still that chance that they are going to be failing massively with every single project that they have in 2017. Maybe not all, but at least a good amount that's going to make Sony Pictures Animation lose a lot of money, and then they could end up ultimately shutting down. Because Sony Pictures would realize there's no point in keeping Sony Pictures Animation. It is an absolute hopeless brand that nobody would buy. The Sony Pictures Animation name would not sell, period. And that's it. Seriously. And, you know, plus the fact that when you do think about it nowadays, like, the Sony Pictures Animation name is entirely tarnished. Like, nobody likes Sony Animation anymore because of the Emoji Movie. Because there are still those people that are bringing up the fact that they have to make so many sacrifices in order to make the Emoji Movie. Now, if you don't know what I'm referring to, I'm sure that you are seeing these comments happening over and over again, that Sony Pictures Animation has legitimately canceled Genndy Tartakovsky's Popeye and Lauren Faust's Medusa in order to bring you the Emoji Movie. Now, I'm sure that there are many reasons why those projects ended up being shut down and why those directors ended up, you know, just getting out, you know, they had to go and part their ways with Sony. Now, I understand there could be many different factors, but I'm sure one big one is to make this a priority. That they want, that, you know, screw these anticipated projects that people are excited for from well-respected figures in the animation industry. You know, screw all that. We can throw that out away in order to make room for the Emoji Movie. Sony, this is why you're gonna freaking shut down, man. This is freaking why, I swear to God. This is why you are known as the laughingstock of the animation industry. You big freaking piece of crap. My God, no pun intended. I swear to God. Man, I don't know what's... I honestly don't know what's more infuriating nowadays. Donald Trump or Sony Pictures Animation. Either way, they're both giving me a freaking headache. I'm actually going to end this off by using a tweet that I actually done that, surprisingly, it ended up being very popular, to my surprise. But I just want to repeat this to make the message clear. Now, regarding the Emoji Movie teaser trailer that we have here, it's not building up any hype or any anticipation for the movie whatsoever. Instead, it is only building hype, and it's only building anticipation for my review. And that is all that I've got for this week. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast on Filmbook. Anyways, you can also find me on Twitter at anime505. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be wonderful. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Now, tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. Happy holidays, and until next week,